Alrighty. Hello, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, 10 minutes after 4. Congressional thing is going to get really interesting. Tim Wengert sent me a statement from Byron Brown's people that I will share with you in just a few minutes. And, you know, I'm not going to make any apologies. I like Byron Brown a lot. As a dude, and I run into him at a lot of social events. And look, I mean, do we agree on everything? No. I mean, the assault weapons situation, we don't agree on that. I mean, I happen to be a member of the 1791 Society, which is Frank Panasek's organization, which is dedicated to the preservation of the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And I'm a dues-paying member of Frank's organization. And obviously my view is not going to change on that. Byron Brown's view is not going to change on that. But as far as people and being a judge of quality individuals, you know, I happen to like Byron Brown an awful lot. And he has always been a total gentleman to me and to anybody I have been with, and I'm rather fond of Byron Brown. And look, that's why when things happen in the city, Byron Brown makes it a point to be on this program as soon as possible. Now, unfortunately, I don't have that kind of a relationship with Mark Poloncarz. David Bellavia and I would both love to have Mark Poloncarz on the program on a regular basis, but he has no interest in doing that, which, well, obviously it doesn't hurt him because he just won re-election by 18 points. So maybe he's the smart one and I'm not, but there's always that possibility existing everywhere. Got a lot of things to get into today, but I want to get back to Jim real quickly in North Tonawanda, because we've been talking about the whole right on red thing and some other related issues. But Rambo Jim, I wanted to ask you something because I started watching a movie today and I was interrupted by other things, so I didn't have a chance to watch it from start to finish. But you do have Netflix, correct?
Netflix. I have what's it called, where you access the movie?
I
go and then I pick the movies I want to watch.
Okay, but like Amazon Prime, is that?
It's one of those. I don't know. I know how to do it. I taught myself how to do it with the remote.
Okay. Well, that's what. Well, okay. I'm a Netflix guy, and the reason I bring that up is because I stumbled across a movie today that had you written all over it, and it was about the attack on the American embassy in Benghazi, Libya, which took place during the Obama administration. 13 hours.
13 hours. Yeah,
13 hours. And I'm kind of curious, as a guy who is a veteran who jumped into the jungles of Panama. That is your legacy, Jim.
But don't forget highball drop zone in Turkey.
Yes. Well, I love Turkey. I mean, the country. I really feel at home in Turkey. But you've seen the movie. I was going to ask you.
I read the book.
Is it historically accurate?
Yeah, because, you know, in my opinion, it was, because I'm going to give you an example. Both the book and the movie, I learned in Catholic school, we called it the book movie, and we did the same thing at Tonawanda High School. Anyway, there was a point was made in the movie and the book. When they attacked that embassy, the nearest air assets we had was at Aviano Air Force Base in Italy.
Right.
Once our fighter jets are wheels up off the tarmac, that is a 20-minute flight from Aviano Air Force Base to Benghazi, Libya. We could have flattened them immediately within 20 minutes of the call for help if Hillary Clinton had got off her duff and Obama had got off his duff and just authorized the mission, but they wouldn't let them send the air assets. That's a fact. Now, I'm not making that up. That is a documented fact.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I was thinking about you and the issues that, again, the movie shows the issues between the CIA station chief in Benghazi and the contractors who had been hired to protect the assets with the agency. And it's just, it was fascinating to me, that whole power dynamic between the guys whose world that is, the special operators, and the station chief of CIA. And I was thinking to myself, I got to find out from Jim if that was anything like what really happened in real life.
Yeah, because like I said, and one of the things that was made, like I said, I read the book and I saw the movie. And in both cases, the point was made, those people, when that embassy came under attack and it was really looking hairy, yep, they were literally begging for help. They didn't ask for help. They were saying, when they made the call, look, if you don't get here and get us help, we're all dead. We're not going to survive this night. And shortly before dawn the next day, they got some other special operators with the help of the Libyans that were on our side. They got some help there before they all ended up dead. But we could have done a much better job at Benghazi. Look, forget whether you're a Republican, conservative, liberal, forget about your politics, look at the facts. Our fighter, the Mediterranean Sea, with a jet wheels up, flying across the Mediterranean Sea, is a 20-minute flight. 20 minutes, we could have had air assets there, and we would have annihilated them.
Oh, well, look, when you are in, I mean, to as far as geography, most Americans are pretty ignorant of geography. I mean, and it's, let's put it this way, it's not really helping matters that every time we want to go somewhere, all we do is we plug it into Google or whatever service we happen to use to give us directions. But when you are in Sicily, certain parts of Sicily, when the wind is blowing a certain way, you can actually smell the lemon tree groves in North Africa. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
That close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sicily was conquered by the, what was it, the Spanish Moors from North Africa.
Everybody conquered Sicily.
Sicily, yes.
I mean, Sicily.
The Romans, the Visigoths, the Vandals, the French, everybody. Like you said, virtually everybody, half the people in the world have conquered Sicily.
No, and
which
that's
why my father used to say the term pure-blooded Sicilian is sort of a misnomer. It's
well,
really, you know.
Well, I mean, that's not an insult, by the way, to the people or the self-defense of Sicily. It's just that it's kind of one of those linchpins of the world, and various empires and powers over the years have seen its strategic significance and have made that a real priority. But the distance is quite startling, how close things are. It's like, I've never been there, but Israel, the Holy Land, it's a lot smaller in scope and scale than you might believe just looking at it on a map. It's pretty remarkable. Eisenhower had that comment, as did Jim Bishop, who wrote the book The Day Lincoln Was Shot, and a few other historical books of note. I always wanted to write a book The Day Jim Bishop Died, but couldn't get anybody interested. But the movie itself, 13 hours, it was mesmerizing. It was absolutely,
yep,
fascinating. And I was just, I can't wait to get back and give it my full and undivided to watch it over the weekend, especially with Veterans Day looming on the horizon. Are you doing anything special for Veterans Day, Jim?
You know what I'm going to do? I like to go down. You know where Veterans Park is in the city of Tonawanda?
Yes.
I like to go there. Have you seen that Cobra from the Vietnam War?
Oh, I've driven by it, yes.
Yeah. What I like to do is just go there and on Veterans Day and spend, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes, maybe the better part of an hour, just sitting there and reading the names on the memorial of guys killed in action from the Tonawanda, Western New York area, and just look at that Cobra and imagine that Cobra flying across the top of the jungle, not much higher than the top of the jungle in the Republic of South Vietnam, and everything that happened during that war, and all the guys that trained me when I enlisted in the Army of 1972, 9 out of every 10 of them were Vietnam vets. Everything I know about being a soldier, I owe to them, you know.
Yeah, I, No, I get it. And obviously, it's a tragic and fascinating part of our history. And what really irks me about that whole situation, we lost over 50,000 Americans, and the war did not have to be fought. Ho Chi Minh was ours. Ho Chi Minh easily could have reached an accommodation with the United States. And it was in that Cold War paranoid period where we started getting our fingers stuck, where the French obviously had issues at Dien Bien Phu and elsewhere. But the irony, and it's a tragic irony also, is the fact that even though we are not allies today, the United States and Vietnam are very close. And it's totally counterintuitive, but we are very close. And frankly, we kind of view Vietnam as a bulwark against Chinese expansionism in that part of the world. And the Chinese aren't real happy that the Vietnamese have become so close to the United States. And I think it's long past time that we moved on from the tragedy and looked ahead to the future. But that war, and this is, look, I have tremendous respect for all of the men and women who served, but that war did not have to be fought. It was a cluster.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, if there's other people on hold, I just want to make one final point. As far as the Cold War goes, at the end, now you might remember, at the end of World War II, General Patton called the Russians recently civilized Mongolian bandits. He detested them so much, he wanted to rearm the Nazis and let the Nazis help us fight the Russians. But, of course, they put the kibosh on that.
Jim has called in from North Tonawanda. It's been a while since we've talked, but just spending a few minutes here because I talked to him about the movie 13 Hours, about the attack on our embassy in Benghazi in Libya. And we got off on a little bit of a tangent about Vietnam, and I want Jim to be able to finish what he had to say about that. Jim, go ahead.
I think Vietnam and the entire Cold War more or less had its roots when, like I said, when we let the Russians go into Berlin ahead of us, and they threw up the Berlin Wall. After that, it got down to, you know, pretty much like paranoia about the Russian threat. I mean, how effective would the Russian army now in hindsight have been after all the young Russian men and women that were killed in World War II? But we saw them as a genuine threat. And then when they got the atomic bomb a couple of years after we used it on the Japanese, you can see, because I remember when I came in the Army in November 1972, the Cold War was hot and heavy. And like in the 82nd Airborne, we were so concerned about the Russians, we came up with something that was called the All-American Defense Plan. We would jump in with everything we had, knowing that the Russian tanks were coming at us. We were going to force the Russians to roll over the top of us. In 72 hours, the 82nd Airborne, fighting the Russians would be combat ineffective. We would take 40% killed and wounded on the insertion, but we would thin out the numbers of those Russian tanks so guys like Bellavia and the 4th Infantry Division and Texas Terry and Big Smooth and all Bellavia's buddies would come in behind us with the heavy tanks and Bradley fighting. Well, we didn't have Bradley fighting
vehicles. I was going to say.
But you know my point I'm trying to make.
Well, yeah, but
our whole thing was back then was we were going to go fight the Russians, and if necessary, sacrifice the 82nd Airborne. We would go first and get wiped out to stop the Russians. We were really concerned about the Russian threat. And one of Bellavia's buddies was saying, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was the Burn the Boats guy or somebody, was saying how maybe we overestimated the Russian threat. What do you think?
You know what? Given the fact that the Russians lost 20 million people to the Nazis in the Second World War, and at that particular point in time, the Russian army was at the top of its game, having taken the Nazis all the way from Stalingrad to Berlin, I don't think at that point we overestimated the Russians, in my own personal opinion, but I'm not a military expert. But as you know, we did have tactical battlefield nuclear weapons, which were part of the defense plan if the Soviets had gone into Berlin. And as far as Patton and his obviously very controversial views are concerned, the irony is, despite the public wrist-slapping he received, OSS, forerunner to CIA, they were busy extracting Nazi war criminals out to help us in the war against the Soviet Union. So we basically spoke out of both sides of our mouths.
Yeah, and one final thing I can tell you. When I told you about Highball Drop Zone, that was September 1973, Operation Deep Furrow. We were so worried about the Russian threat, they trained us. Okay, we went in September. We spent all of June, July, August, three consecutive summer months of Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Saturday or whatever, out there in the woods going against the ROTC, the North Carolina National Guard, the Marines from Camp Lejeune, and Special Forces was our op for and all that. We trained we were so worried about the Russian threat that we were trying to show the Russians that we could put not invade their country, but on the insert American and British paratroopers on the Turkish side of the border. So, in other words, if you guys mess with Turkey or any other NATO country, we'll put paratroopers when and where we want to put them. Then let's see your tanks go over the top of them.
And
we were that concerned about the Russian threat.
Well, and at that point, we had the Jupiter nuclear missiles that were stationed in Turkey. I believe Turkey still has American nukes as part of its defense paradigm over there. But, I thank you, Jim, for your input.
Yeah, thanks for all the time, Tom. Thank you.
I could talk to you all day about this stuff because, obviously, you're a soldier. I am not. All I know is what I've read, but it's a fascinating era of history. I thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah, Tom, and we got to get a three-way hookup sometime with you, me, and Bellavia.
That sounds a little... I see what you're saying. Yes, now I understand.
The three of us on a hookup.
Yes, understood. Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Actually, I mentioned this earlier, but David and I plan on doing... November 22nd, the 60th anniversary of the murder of President Kennedy, we're going to get together again and do, it's going to be a Bowerly and Bellavia, it'll be like, not the greatest hits of, but we'll have a chance to work again together as we did on Christmas Day on a subject of interest to us both. Just got to work out the fine print and the details with Mr. Wenger, and we should be all good to go. It is 4:29 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly coming up. I just want to read a statement that I've got from Byron Brown, and then I've got many other topics. I promised you a buffet, and that's what I'm going to deliver on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly, my loves. Thank you very much for being with us. Lots more to come. Oh. Can we just let the whole thing play? All right, thank you, Tanner Saunders. Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Remember, Bellavia did the show on misheard song lyrics, and that is one of the most common ones ever. Jimi Hendrix, excuse me while I kiss the sky. People heard, excuse me while I kiss this guy. I know we've brought that up before. And the other one, CCR, John Fogerty, there's a bad moon on the rise. And a lot of people heard, there's a bathroom on the right. Someday, I'm going to totally rip off Bellavia's topic, and I'm not above that. I'll do my own topic. You guys like the music shows we do, so I think I'm going to definitely do that. And again, we're working out the details, but on November 22nd, David and I, together again, we're going to try to do a show on the JFK assassination. 60 years have gone by. I was a baby when that happened. David wasn't even born yet. So, it's like... I needed another reminder, you know? Anyway, welcome. It is 4:40 at News Radio 930 WBEN, loves, and it's Bowerly with you. A pleasure, as always. And Tim Wenger sent me this before, right after I went on the air, but I wanted to share it with you. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the Brian Higgins resignation being in the offing. And, a lot of people think it's kind of weird, and I think it's kind of weird, personally, to go from being a congressman to being the president of Shays. But then again, hey, Jack Quinn. Jack Quinn was a very popular member of Congress. He could have been a congressman for as long as he wanted to, but he left the position and eventually headed up ECC, Erie Community College. So I don't know, people make moves all the time, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in that situation. And anyway, Tim sent me the statement from Mayor Brown's office, and I would like to share it with you. Statement from Mayor Brown. Congressman Brian Higgins has delivered exceptional results for Buffalo and Western New York during his time in Washington. He has helped shape the renaissance in our area, including his great leadership on waterfront development. It's been an honor to stand with him and work with him on so many key projects for the benefit of the residents of the city of Buffalo and our region. I wish Congressman Higgins nothing but the best in his future endeavors. When the appropriate, here's the money shot here. When the appropriate time comes, I look forward to a conversation about the future of this very diverse district so it can meet the needs of all of our residents. I'm going to try to get some more information on that. But have you had the thought at all, wouldn't it be fascinating right now to be a fly on the wall in Mark Poloncarz's office? Wouldn't it be? I would love to hear the conversations Mark Poloncarz is having right now in his office about this whole congressional situation, because he had been eyed for a long time as a successor to Brian Higgins when the time came where Brian Higgins would go away. And Mark Poloncarz just secured himself a big win in the county executive race, 18 points, the margin of victory. So obviously, if you're Mark Poloncarz, what do? You make it very clear that I'm a winner. Look at me. I've set a record for how many times somebody can be elected to the job of Erie County Executive. But you've got these other people now, like Tim Kennedy, the state senator. He is seen as, well, by a lot of analysts, he is seen as the front runner when Brian Higgins does resign. And I don't know. I mean, who's got more juice? J-U-I-C-E. Who's got more juice, Mark Poloncarz or Tim Kennedy? And then add Mayor Byron Brown into the mix, and you talk about the name recognition alone, which is huge. Look, you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Name recognition, brand recognition is huge in politics. And just with those three individuals, and I haven't even gotten into the other ones whose names have come up, but with Mark Poloncarz, you've got extreme name recognition. Byron Brown, same thing. And Tim Kennedy, same thing. Actually, of all of those people, I would say Tim Kennedy has the least name recognition because of the strength of the name recognition of Mark Poloncarz and Byron Brown. But if Mark Poloncarz does not get tapped, he is going to be, I think, a very unhappy camper. Because, look, he won by 18 points, and he's not exactly my cup of tea, but obviously a lot of you, he is your cup of tea. Now, Mayor Brown is, he's more of my cup of tea because of the way he handles himself and because of our frequent social interactions. And, hey, the day after, I think it was the day after he won the write-in race for the mayor of the city of Buffalo, which, by the way, that was no small achievement that was pulled off by Mayor Brown in that situation. India Walton thought for sure she was going to be the next mayor of the city of Buffalo. But Byron Brown, he put together what can only be described as, pardon me, an amazing campaign effort, complete with the stamps that were handed out to people right down Byron Brown. He made it as easy as possible for people to take advantage of the write-in situation. So long and the short of it is, Mayor Brown did not exactly take his paddle out of the canoe. He did not. I think is very, very much interested in being the replacement for Brian Higgins. Obviously, Tim Kennedy is. Obviously, Mark Poloncarz is. And again, if Mark Poloncarz does not get the nod, does not get the tap on the shoulder, he is not going to be a happy camper. In fact, I think he's going to become a conservative Republican. That's how that's how bilious I think Mark Poloncarz is. I think he will become a conservative Republican. All right, that's not a real prediction. I'm just having a little bit of fun with that, if that's okay with you. It's 4:46 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, I might not do politics a lot, but just remember something. I do get stuff wrong. I will be the first to admit that I do get things wrong. However, I've also gotten a lot of things right that nobody saw coming, such as the resignation of Andrew Cuomo from the governor's seat of New York State. I remember when the state attorney general came out and basically condemned Andrew Cuomo, what did I say at the time? I said, this is the beginning of the end for Andrew Cuomo. He is going to have to resign. And everybody, all of the so-called experts said, Tom, no way. Andrew Cuomo's ego is too big. He is never going to step down. And I knew that when your attorney general from your own party starts going after you, that things are not going to end up well for you. And it proved that, well, I guess what I proved was sometimes even the blind squirrel gets the nut, but it is, as they say, what it is. It is 4:48 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly with you on the radio on a Friday. So I don't know what to make about everything that is going on with the political situation, but it's so unusual if you think about it. We've had, I think, more discussions, and I've overheard more discussions out there in the real world about the situation with Brian Higgins and the replacement for Brian Higgins than I did during the actual campaign that was taking place when it was actually going on. So it's going to be a very, very interesting period of time here. And, of course, we will cover it on News Radio 930 WBEN. Remember, we have a Sunday morning political show hosted by Joe Beamer. It is called Hardline, and it's a great opportunity for those of you who are the political wonks to weigh in and to hear great interviews done by Joe Beamer. So we certainly invite you to do that. And Joe and the entire crew did a phenomenal job on election night. It's really kind of mind-blowing, but they just basically were absolutely amazing. And again, we prove here at WBEN that when we say we're here when you need us the most, it's not just a hokey expression. It is the way we actually do radio here at WBEN, and we wouldn't have it any other way. I keep getting back to the blizzard of 2022, and, you know, I say this probably about once a week, and I have since the actual storm itself hit, but it was the, for me and everybody that was camped out at the radio station, it was the most rewarding Christmas ever. If I couldn't spend it with my family, I had a chance to spend it with my larger family, you guys of the radio family, and I think that we were able to offer some help to people. I wish that we didn't have such a high death toll, but it was something that I will never forget. And no matter what happens in the news with the weather or anything else, we promise that we're going to cover it for you here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, one of the topics that I have been dying to do this topic, and with Veterans Day coming up tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it and do justice to it, but it is the idea of recycling and the idea of the bottle deposit, because there's some talk about, hey, let's raise the bottle deposit to 10 cents per bottle instead of 5 cents per bottle. And I don't know. Like, you know how at your house you probably have chores that you really don't enjoy and you try to pawn them off on your spouse or significant other or the kids, like changing the litter box. Those of you with cats, and you know how much I love cats, but nobody likes changing the litter box, no matter how much you love your cat. And by the way, litter box liners, I'm just going to tell you, it took me a long time as a cat person to figure it out, but litter box liners are absolutely worth the money, and I didn't discover that until later in life. So I'm just going to tell you that as far as keeping a nice, hygienic, and clean house that is good for you and good for your cats, litter box liners, absolutely a great, great investment. Now, it is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. But I do want to talk, and it's going to have to wait until next week, about this whole deposit thing, because one of the most onerous chores in my life, and maybe yours, is gathering up all of the garbage bags filled with the returnable bottles and bringing them over to the return place. And there you are walking in with 5, 6, 7 huge bags filled with all kinds of plastic containers on which you've paid your 5 cents deposit. You carry in all that stuff and you leave with like $15.25. And sometimes it hardly seems worthwhile. And I wonder how many of you just say, you know what, it isn't worth my time. And you just basically put them out with the rest of the recycles, which brings up another issue, whether or not you recycle. But that's got to wait until next week. Poor Tim. I keep on telling Tim, Tim, I'm going to do that as a topic. I'm going to do that as a topic. And it's going to have to wait until next week with my deepest and most sincere apologies. But as we have Veterans Day coming up, and I would like to pay homage and give proper honor to those who have served the United States, I want to get into that coming up in the final hour of today's program, if that's okay with you. And I suspect it will be, because you know, I know we have a lot of veterans who listen to the show. 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly, my loves, on this Friday, and we're going to end the week with hopefully an hour that surpasses my usual promise of mediocrity. Hopefully it shall be excellent. And even if it isn't, I assure you, Tanner Saunders behind the glass, he'll choose music bumps that are phenomenal, beyond description, on News Radio 930 WBEN.